It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, repent, turn to God, so that your sins be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. That's Acts 3, 19 and 20. The times of refreshing. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Alex McFarland here, along with Jeff Shambly, and this is Fire Away Friday. Now, every day on Exploring the Word, we look at God's Word and what the Scripture says about salvation, life, and God's solutions for your problems. But Jeff, yesterday was the National Day of Prayer, and after I was on Exploring the Word with Bert, it was my joy to drive and be in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, near City Hall. We had a gathering with the mayor and a prayer gathering. But I was thinking about all the people, 19,000 locations yesterday where people gathered publicly to call out to the Lord. And Acts 3:19, repent, turn to God, your sins be blotted out, and the times of refreshing may come. There's a lot of blessing when people and a nation turn to the Lord, isn't there?
It sure is, Alex. And I was privileged to be here in our home base of Tupelo, Mississippi at the courthouse. A great turnout for the National Day of Prayer. And I'm reminded about those sacred assemblies in the Old Testament when God's people come together and they repent and call out to God publicly. And it was a great time of fellowship, great time of prayer. So, yeah, what a blessing.
Amen. Well, I want to give the number because what we do on Fire Away Friday, it's all questions, all the hour. Here's the number, toll-free, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you if you've got a Bible question. You know, we just finished up our study of the book of Exodus. Monday, good Lord willing, Bert and I will begin the book of Romans, one of my absolute favorite books of the Bible, just the Mount Everest of salvation scripture, the book of Romans. And so maybe you've got a question about that. But let's do a little bit of introduction, you know, getting together today. Jeff Shambly, you're so faithful to help us and sit in if Bert is traveling or if I'm stuck in an airport, which is kind of my lot in life some days. But for those that may be unaware, tell about the vital work you do, Jeff, with the American Family Association.
Well, it's a privilege to be able to work in the Stand department. We produce a magazine that's published every month, and we also have a weekly radio show and podcast called The Stand Radio, which I host and produce Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Coming up this weekend, Ken Ham will be my guest. We'll talk about his conversation with astronaut Barry Wilmore in the International Space Station and about the upcoming astronaut encounter at the Ark Encounter this summer. So we have a great conversation, and also a young filmmaker named Caleb Cook, who's talking about living boldly for God and making films. So a great program coming up this weekend.
Well, you've interviewed a lot of people, haven't you?
You know, I love doing that, and I tell you, I've got one coming up this next week. It's an interview that will hopefully air in the next month. It's with Dr. Baruch Korman, and we're going to be talking about how to understand the Bible. So I am looking forward to that conversation. But yeah, lots of interesting people.
Indeed. Well, and let me tell folks just briefly about what I've got the privilege of being a part of this weekend. We're starting a speaker series called Conversations That Matter. And our first speaker this weekend, it's Dinesh D'Souza. He's a number one New York Times bestselling author, just a brilliant scholar, brilliant apologist, and defender of the Christian faith. And the website for our speaker series is Conversations That Matter. Conversations That Matter. Well, alexmcfarland.com/conversations. And so if you happen to be in, we call it the Grand Strand, Myrtle Beach, but it's largely Wilmington, Shallotte, Florence, Mullins, Charleston, this wonderful region. We would love to see you. And there are still tickets available. AlexMcFarland.com/conversations. Yeah. Well, Jeff, may we begin to talk to some folks on the telephone?
Yeah, let's go at it.
All right. Fire away Friday. Alan from Kansas, you're our first guest on this edition of the show.
Yeah, I was recently reading in 1 and 2 Samuel where Saul was wounded in a battle, and he asked his armor-bearer to kill him, and his armor-bearer wouldn't do it. So it says that Saul fell on his sword and died. Some chapters later, David encounters a fellow who says that he killed Saul. So apparently the guy that David encountered is a liar, because there are no contradictions. We all know that.
Right.
It's just a misunderstanding somewhere.
And David has this person killed for killing King Saul. You know, I think this, you know, is Saul is one of the people in the Bible, like Judas, that really essentially commits suicide. And I think the one that David met who brags, because it's like this, trying to curry favor with the boss. Oh, King David, Saul was against you. Saul threatened to kill you. Hey, you'll be proud. I killed him. And David puts that person to death. So I think it was, and Jeff, from all the commentaries I've ever read, it was braggadocio. Yeah. And this person was thinking he would curry favor. But David was a very righteous man. And, you know, even when Saul was trying to kill young David, David wouldn't slander him. You know, they were in a cave. David could have taken Saul unawares and had him killed, but he didn't do that, did he?
No, and what stands out to me in these passages, and you just mentioned that David has had an awesome respect for God's anointed. And over you see that David is not going to lay his hand on Saul, and he reacts violently against a man that says that he did. And so you see David's humility and his understanding that God has an anointed man, and you just don't touch him.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. So, Alan, this really wasn't part of your question, but there's no contradiction there. It's just that other guy gave a false report about saying he killed Saul when, in fact, he really did not. Saul committed suicide. Let's go to Alabama. Corky. Corky in Alabama. Do I have your name right?
You do.
Well, welcome. It's good to have you.
Friends with Tim and Walker and Wesley, and did some work with Coach Tuberville on all that.
Well, that's great. That's great. We're glad you're part of the ministry. What you got for us, Corky?
Yes, sir. I'm driving right now, and I can't look up the verse, but it's in Matthew and Luke. God will give good gifts to those who ask, Matthew says. Luke says, God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So my question is, how do we get the Holy Spirit?
Well, great question. You get born again, and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. And the Spirit of God has been working on you your whole life anyway, guiding you. But Jeff, as I read Scripture, you know, Galatians says that we're baptized into Christ through God's Holy Spirit. And so I believe that, and Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Spirit of God that not only indwells us, but seals us to the day of redemption. And yes, you know, there's not only the good gift of God's indwelling Holy Spirit, but the spiritual gifts, which is really a supernatural empowerment to live the Christian life and serve the body of Christ. Every believer has some spiritual gifts. Now, I don't believe any Christian has all of the gifts, but whether it be teaching or administration or wisdom, or, you know, there are a lot of spiritual gifts, and those are good gifts. So it all begins the moment you turn your life over to Christ, receive Jesus as your Savior. Jeff, what do you say?
I think absolutely. The Spirit of God comes in us and dwells in us when we are born again. Jesus said that he would send the Comforter to us, and he did in the birth of the church. The Holy Spirit gives the believer all that we need. He, in the book of Ephesians, Paul says that he seals us with His Holy Spirit, which is a down payment, a guarantee of our inheritance. So the Holy Spirit is a necessary part of the new birth, and we have Him at the new birth.
Amen. Hey, by the way, one of the great books on the Holy Spirit is by Billy Graham. And I would encourage you to study and read. And Jeff, it doesn't seem like we hear much preaching on the Holy Spirit, at least in the circles I travel. You don't hear as much about it as we should. And we need the Spirit of God to send revival, not only culturally, nationally, but personally. And yes, fortunately, God will do that. Mike in Louisiana. Mike, welcome to Exploring the Word. By the way, folks, the number 888-589-8840 if you've got a Bible question. Mike, you're on.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I enjoy listening to your show. I have to say, I'm calling with a point of maybe a little disagreement, but maybe a clarification. A couple of weeks ago, the topic of Judas came up, and it's one that's always perplexed me. I guess in terms of a question, and I'm not trying to do a gotcha question. I just, if we believe what we say we would believe, and the way it's presented in orthodox fashion, then Judas is in eternal hell, a damnation, and he betrayed Christ. And I have trouble understanding that, because it had to happen. Someone had to betray Christ for the prophecy to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So I got a real problem with that. I think it's a conundrum that cannot be solved.
Well, and you know, I hear you, Mike. And I think one of the ways to phrase the question is to ask this: is it a deterministic world where people have no recourse and are not accountable for their actions? And I would say, based on all that we know, the answer is no, it isn't. Because Jesus said, "Woe unto him who betrays the Son of Man." It would be better that he wasn't born. And so let me just say, none of us can certainly know all of the motives and machinations that went through the mind of Judas. Judas was in a sect with Barabbas that wanted Israel to go to war with Rome. And the Messiah came, and presumably Judas did not consent to be one of the disciples, because here's the Savior that's going to teach us how to be born again. Apparently Judas saw in Jesus a would-be revolutionary that would help instigate the war with Rome. But that was not God's plan of salvation. So Judas eventually betrayed Jesus, as we know, for 30 pieces of silver. He didn't have to do it. He did it. God knew what he would do. But Judas was not a pawn in the hands of a deterministic God. Jeff, what do you say?
Well, the scriptures are going to be fulfilled, and Jesus many times said that this happened, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. That is a mysterious working between how God ordains something in scripture and it comes to pass. To say that Judas did not have a decision that's a bona fide decision would not be true. Judas absolutely was responsible for his decision, and his judgment was just.
Yeah. Wow, great questions, folks. All the hour, Jeff Chambly, myself, Alex McFarland, will do our best to answer the questions. Call us.
If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial pound $250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
And welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. It is Fire Away Friday. That song, Lord, I Need You, is so true. We need the Lord every single day. Hey, before we get back into our study and our questions today, and by the way, let me give you the phone number. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 for your questions. I'd like to mention that coming up in October, October 30th and 31st, is the AFA at the Ark event at the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. A lot of great things happening there, including a Thursday night dinner with the astronomer, Dr. Danny Faulkner, a breakfast the following day. Dr. Georgia Purdom will be speaking, a wonderful speaker. And then Friday night, dinner and panel discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, Wesley, and many others at the event. So you can check that out at the website. Let's see, where is that? AFA.net? You have that?
/events.
AFA.net/events, and click on AFA at the Ark. So that's going to be an exciting event coming up.
That's going to be really fun. Well, we're taking calls and questions. Wow, I have a great slate of calls. We're going to go to Texas. Pamela in Texas, welcome to Exploring the Word. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
Hello. Oh, I'm calling for prayer, but I want to say thank you for your radio station. I try to listen to you guys every afternoon, waiting for my daughter carpooling. And and I love your station. It really helped.
Oh, thank you. Well, God be the glory.
Yes. But I need help in praying because I keep praying for the Lord to heal me. And I'm being with this pain for so long, for many years. And I ask the Lord, what's wrong with me? Why he doesn't listen to my prayer? I ask the Holy Spirit to help me. But this pain, it doesn't go away. So I just need prayer. I have this pain in my legs, in my back. I think I have a problem with my nerve, and it's very painful. And that's it.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, and we do want to pray for God to alleviate that pain. And two things let me just say. Having been married to a nurse for 35 years, I trust that you have good medical care. Maybe you've gone to a doctor and, you know, make sure that, you know, you're getting good medical care for all of your physical needs. But also the other thing, Pamela, do you know the Lord? Are you, you've accepted Christ and you're saved?
Yes, I'm born again and I have the Lord.
Amen. That is just wonderful. Well, you know, Jeff, Jesus is our healer. Sometimes it's not on the timetable that we wish sometimes, but one of the beautiful things is that we grow, we trust him, even in the midst of hardship. But Jeff, would you pray for Pamela?
I would be glad to. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Pamela and for the call that she's made today. And thank you, Lord, that she is seeking you. And we do join with her in praying that you would heal her body and take this pain in her legs and her back away. And Father, as she waits upon this healing, Lord, would you draw close to her? Father, we pray that she would grow in wisdom and in love and in knowledge of you through this pain, Lord, that you would be with her in a very tangible way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for calling in. Going over to Georgia, Ed in Georgia. Ed, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, Brother Alex. How are you today?
Blessed. How you doing?
Oh, I am blessed too. Longtime listener of AFR and Alex McFarland and Bert Harper.
Well, to God be the glory, and thank you.
Amen. I want to ask for some help with resources. I have a friend that recently has come to salvation and has been ordained in the denomination of the Church of God. Been to a couple of men's events with him. Really, really, really enjoyed. I see the Lord working in his life. And these meetings always end with folks speaking in tongues and even interpreting for themselves. And I am praying through, seeking opportunity to talk with him about Acts 2, the Holy Spirit, what I believe is the language. I know this is just a doctrinal difference. It's not a, but I don't want to discourage him, Alex. I want to continue to encourage him in his faith, in his newfound faith. But I haven't been to any more gatherings with him because of not talking. I want to talk to him about my discomfort in that setting. Everything is great. The worship is great. The word is great. And then it always goes to that instance, or usually it does, or the times that I've attended. So, and I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you, and I thank God for AFR.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is great. Let's talk about this a little bit because, and I want to preface this to say, Jeff, this is an area where equally good, godly, well-intentioned Christians sometimes have differences of opinion. Mm-hmm. And let me say, we all agree Jesus is the Son of God. He shed his blood to wash our sin away. The Bible is God's inerrant, infallible word. So I want you to know, folks, where you land on this issue is not a salvific issue. We all agree that the third member of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit, regenerates our soul, indwells the believer, seals the believer. The question comes down to how the gifts of the Spirit are manifested in the church. And you know, Jeff, as I'm even talking about this, I think about there's so much, much more common ground on which we agree than we disagree.
Right.
We all agree the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, supernatural abilities for the working out of the gospel. And in our day, Jeff, let me just say this. When I first got saved there in the late 80s, I remember it was even kind of a little bit acrimonious because you had well-known Pentecostals and charismatics, some of whom I've come to know. They're great, fantastic people like Pat Robertson, and right. I was on his show many times. And then others that like Jerry Falwell, who I knew very well, and he was not a Pentecostal. But I want to, before I even talk about this, I want to say, here's what Satan wants. Satan would want Christians to divide
right.
On any issue, but especially, I mean, think about something so precious and so personal like the indwelling Holy Spirit. So I want to say, regardless of where anybody lands on this, our tongues for today, are they not? Please don't burn bridges with other Christians. I will say this. Now, there are plenty of Bible verses, and you know, here are the disagreements. You've got Peter in Acts 2, 1 through 4. The believers were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And what's interesting then in Acts 2 is there are 16 known languages that they were sharing the gospel in, or people at least were hearing the gospel in, you know, read if Acts 2, 8 through 13, 16 languages. But then, hang with me, and Jeff, I'm sorry
I
want to set this up.
Yeah, please.
You've got 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, that talks about the Holy Spirit giving a message of wisdom and the self-same Spirit giving other gifts, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, another speaking in different kinds of tongues. Now, here's, and I'm just speaking for myself here. I really don't believe that the spiritual gifts we read about in the book of Acts or 1 Corinthians have stopped for today. And I know people say, oh, in 1 Corinthians 13, when that which is perfect has come, right. and they'll say, that which is perfect is the Bible, therefore the gifts stop. You know, Augustine talked about speaking in tongues. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, supported the full gifts of the Spirit, including tongues. Martin Luther referred to it. Others haven't. So I just want to say this, and Jeff, I will throw it to you. I just don't think the works of the Holy Spirit have stopped. I think the Holy Spirit of God can do anything in the modern church that he's ever done in the church. It's not, can the Spirit give gifts and work? It's, are Christians willing to be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit? But Jeff, you feel free to agree, disagree.
No, you know, I've come through a lot of changes in my walk with the Lord as on this subject from the time that I was saved in college to today. And I've kind of gone the full gamut of what I've held to on this. I will say this, that in 1 Corinthians 14, one thing that we can know for sure is that there's a primacy of prophecy in the church setting rather than tongues. So in a situation where you have a believer, and Paul alludes to this in 1 Corinthians 14, where there is a tongue, there must be an interpretation, otherwise hold off. So that there is a primacy on what we do understand. Namely, so that those who come into your assembly who are not of the Lord's may not be confused as to what's going on. How can they say amen if they don't understand what you're saying? Paul says himself, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak five words with my understanding. So we can know that the primacy of prophecy and understanding is to be made in the church. Now, whether or not there is a prayer language that a person can have, you know, I'm just going to leave that to the Lord. I've got relatives and family members who would agree with that. That's not my experience, but I, like you, Alex, you know, I'm just going to kind of hold back and let the Lord lead on that. So there's room for disagreement on it.
There is room for disagreement and unity in the body and not letting Satan divide us.
Exactly.
That is so important. Yes. Well, on a similar note, let's go to North Carolina. Sherry in North Carolina, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, hey. That was actually the topic I was going to speak on, about the guy said about how do you get to receive the Holy Spirit. And I'm holiness, and you know that moves different than the other religions. According to Acts 2:37, 38, and 39, it speaks on how they asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? And he began to explain to them, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the removal of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, and I have experienced that, and how the other gentleman was talking about speaking in unknown tongues, that does happen today. And I received the Holy Ghost November 16th, 2009. And you repent. And I was baptized in Jesus Christ's name and not the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because those are his titles. Those are not his name. And you receive the Holy Ghost, and then you live right until he come. And like the gentleman was just said, I heard a piece of it, but I had my radio down. He was saying, you know, about if someone do have that gift of speaking in tongues and nobody's there to interpret it, the Bible did tell you speak to yourself, you know, or walk away, because you're going to confuse people that do not understand what's going on. So those are the things that, you know, the Bible speaks on. How do you receive Jesus? How do you receive the Holy Ghost? And then in Psalms, wait a minute, I wrote it down, where the Lord say, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And he said to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That was Psalms 96 and 9. So this way, you know, and also I have a pastor that, well, not my pastor, but on YouTube, Pastor Gino Jennings. he can break that down better than I can because I'm not a preacher. But if your listeners wanted to listen to him, Pastor Geno Jennings, he breaks down how to receive the Holy Ghost as well.
Let me jump in here. Sherry, thanks for calling. I want to say a couple of things. You know, Romans 8:9 says that of the Christian, we are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him. So when we belong to Jesus, the Spirit of God indwells us. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says we are baptized by one Spirit into one body, and we are all given one Spirit to drink. Jeff, I was thinking about this. Yeah. Wouldn't it be good if we could be unified, since really every born-again believer is given the one Spirit to drink,
right?
You know, or to experience. So I believe that we receive the Holy Spirit when we repent, turn from sin, and believe in Jesus Christ. Now, the one thing, Sherry, I would lovingly disagree with you on, I think the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, those are not three different titles for Jesus.
Right.
Those are the three persons of the Godhead. And I know that in Acts 2:38, it says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But at Matthew 28, Jesus himself says, you know, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So, Jeff, you could baptize somebody in the name of God, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because God is indivisible. Whether you invoke one member of the Trinity or acknowledge all three, God is one and indivisible.
Yes. Absolutely. That's an important doctrine. One being, three persons in the Godhead. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with more questions in just a few moments on Far Away Friday here on Exploring the Word.
Is our theology of money upside down? Our vision is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. You know, it's a game changer of an idea, and we start with this idea that God owns everything, and we are his household managers of what he has entrusted to us. So we own nothing, but we have stewardship responsibilities.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. The first Fire Away Friday in the month of May. Jeff, I can't hardly believe it's May already, you know?
Right here, yeah.
Yeah. And the number is 888-589-8840. And we're going to go to calls. We'll continue in Arkansas, I believe it is. Doug in Arkansas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your show.
Well, appreciate you listening, my friend.
I would like to say one thing, and I'll ask you a question. As far as the speaking in tongues, don't do the PDA.
What do you
mean?
Unless
you got the interpretation. Was it PDA?
Personal display of anointing?
Of affection.
Okay. All
right. Keep it in the closet.
Okay. What's your question, Doug?
My question is who are the 12 apostles? Judas hung himself. The arm of the flesh brought in Matthias, and then Paul. Saw him born out of time.
Yeah, well, you know, Matthias was chosen to replace Judas after Judas committed suicide. And, you know, I don't know that I would say it was the arm of the flesh. They selected a replacement. But Paul was an apostle. Now, Paul was not one of the original 12 disciples, but Paul had seen the risen Christ, so he was, by the biblical definition, an apostle. And he even invoked that himself. Paul says, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? And he had, you know, seen the resurrected Jesus, which qualified him to legitimately be called an apostle. You know, but there were others, you know, that, you know, James and Andrew and, you know, all the 12 disciples were not necessarily all 12 apostles. There were many, many apostles. Jeff, I would say that, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, where it talks about the risen Jesus was seen by up to 500 people at once.
Right.
Having seen the resurrected Christ, I mean, that really made the number of apostles increase, didn't it?
Yeah, the word apostle means sent ones, mm-hmm. You know, and I would agree with you, Matthias. I believe that the Scripture records that the apostles sincerely, prayerfully sought who to replace Judas with, and Matthias was chosen. And then Paul absolutely is an apostle because he saw the risen Christ. So, yeah, I don't know if you could say that there are – are you saying, Alex, that you believe that there are many apostles other than the 12?
Well, you know, in verse 7, like of 1 Corinthians 15, after that Jesus was seen of James, then of all the apostles, last of all seen of me as one born out of due time, for I am least of the apostles. And then, you know, all of these that saw the risen Christ and went out, let me just say this, and it does mean sent one. Sean McDowell wrote in his dissertation how just hundreds and hundreds, we know the disciples were willing to die for this, and then so many hundreds of other Christians were willing to die as well. And I would say by being martyrs, and the word martyr means witness.
Right.
Apostles, martyrs, they were sent ones, they witnessed to the reality of the gospel. I don't think it would be disingenuous to call these early church leaders that gave their life for the proclamation that Christ had risen. They were certainly apostolic, weren't they?
So, but there would not be any apostles today because they would not have seen the risen Christ, and that's the kind of the distinction there. Is that right?
Exactly. I do not believe there are apostles today. Yeah. They're disciples, and we hope you are one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, every apostle was a disciple, but not every disciple was an apostle.
Yes. Right.
Betty in Virginia. Betty, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have just a question. I'm starting to read through the Bible again after many times, but this morning I was reading in Genesis, and in chapter 4, it gives on verse 17 about the lineage of Cain through Methuselah. Then over in chapter 5, it gives the lineage of Seth through Methuselah. So which is correct? And I don't understand the difference there.
Let's see. Did you say Genesis 4:17?
Genesis 4:17, yes. That's where it gives Cain through Methuselah.
Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And Enoch built a city, called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And then it goes on down there. Unto Enoch was born Irad. Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methuselah. Methusael. Okay.
Right.
And then what's the other verse, Jeff, that she mentioned?
I think it was in chapter 7.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong.
See.
I'll try to write something that down.
Betty, do you have the other?
Verse 6 through verse 26.
Yeah. Okay. And Noah.
No.
All right.
What was that second
chapter?
Before
Noah. Yeah. Chapter 5, starting in verse 6.
Chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Okay. I don't know. I might have to look into this and see. Mahalil. Yeah. Let me, to do this justice, because the genealogies are just fascinating. But I guess one question I have is the
Methusael of Genesis 4:18, is that the famed Methuselah that lived 960 years? Jeff, offhand, because it, like in Genesis 5:27, the days of Methuselah were 969 years. Uh-huh. So I'm not for sure. Here's the question. Is the Methuselah of Genesis 5:27 the Methusael of Genesis 4:18? And I would say they're two different people. Now, I want to look into this. The names are very similar, but they're not identical.
Right, which is not uncommon with some of the Hebrew names.
Because yeah, exactly.
There are variations on those names, and this may be the case.
Yeah, and to get the other calls in, let me study on this. Betty, I'll report back probably Monday, but my initial reaction, just not having looked into this, these names are spelled differently, so they must be two different people. But we will report back on that. Thank you for that wonderful question, one I don't think we've had before. But Dorothy in Oklahoma. Dorothy, welcome.
Dorothy,
hello,
you're on
Dorothy.
The air. Yeah, go right ahead.
Dorothy?
Rich?
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, you're on. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you. This question.
Yeah, turn your radio down if you will, Dorothy, because it may be confusing if you hear us in two different sources.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You hear me now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have this concern about what day is the Sabbath day. I've studied in the Bible about the Sabbath, and in Genesis 2, it says where God blessed the seventh day. And he rested on that day. And then in the commandments, Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11, it tells us how we should remember it and keep it holy. And then the Bible tells us also about Jesus. I think it's in Matthew, where Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. I've attended a Seventh-day Baptist church. There are Seventh-day Baptist churches, Seventh-day Adventists, Seventh-day Pentecostals. And so I just want some clarity. You know, this, God doesn't have two Sabbaths. And so, you know, I've been being taught that Sunday was the Sabbath, but according to what these brothers and sisters have shown me in the Bible, the seventh day, which is named Saturday, is the Sabbath, and they say it starts Friday evening at sunset and ends Saturday evening at sunset. So, you know, I want to be obedient to God's word. So I'd like some, you know, comments from you, brethren, about, you know, what people should do in regards to keeping the Sabbath day.
God bless you. Yeah, God bless you. Well, you're right. In Genesis 2:2-3, it says that God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it because on it God rested from all his labor which he had done in creation. So there, you're right. There's one Sabbath, and it's Saturday. Now, the church, Christianity, has worshiped on Sunday from time immemorial because that was Resurrection Day. And I want to say it as clearly as I can. And, you know, Jeff, we've had a lot of listeners that have said that, you know, to be a Christian, you've got to keep a Saturday Sabbath. And a day of rest is wonderful and fine, but Sunday is not the Sabbath.
Right.
Sunday is the day that within 4 weeks after the cross, scholars tell us within 4 weeks after the cross, Christians were worshiping on Sunday morning because that was the day Jesus rose. And I just want to say with all my heart, salvation, the plan of salvation does not involve keeping the Sabbath. 1 John 5:1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So keep a Sabbath if you want to, but understand keeping a Saturday Sabbath has nothing to do with getting born again.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I just happened to see this. I know time fleets away, but I was looking in my lexicon. Okay. Methusael of Genesis 4:18, it means man of God. This is the father of Lamech. The very next entry, Methuselah, the longest living human recorded in the Bible, the grandfather of Noah, an ancestor of Christ, Genesis 5:21. So Methusael and Methuselah have to be two different people.
Yeah.
At least in this particular Old Testament lexicon I've got, they're two different people. Okay. Chris in Texas. Chris in Texas, what you got, my friend?
Hello, hello. Good evening, brothers. How y'all doing?
Good.
Blessed. Good to have you.
Amen. Amen to that. Amen. Amen to that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. A few callers earlier, a young lady was talking about being baptized in titles, right? Mm-hmm. And I obviously in the book of Acts, none of the disciples or apostles ever baptized in titles, and it's always in Jesus' name, right? And I understand, you know, where you know Jesus said, "Go baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," and that's the whole Godhead, right? And that the Bible says the whole Godhead is in Jesus. So I was baptized in titles first, but then the Lord had led me to be baptized in His name, and I did in Jesus' name. And but a few days before that, I received the Spirit from nowhere, guys, and that's why I'm going to go with my next. Here's my question. So the Spirit came at me with no words. And I uttered words I never heard before, and I was by myself, and I knew it. It was the Holy Spirit. But here's my question. Jesus, He talks about in John 3:8, He describes it when one receives the Holy Spirit, right? He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is it with everyone born of the Spirit. So I feel like many today feel that once they get baptized, that they receive the Holy Spirit. But here Jesus is saying that it's like the wind. It's like nobody knows when one is born of the Spirit. It's like the wind. You know, we don't know which way the wind blows. So that's my question. What do you think about what Jesus says there? And yes, sir, that's it.
Well, you know, Jeff, remember Jesus, in Matthew 28, it says, go into all the world, make disciples. And really, the wording means as you are going. I think to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, to experience incredible opportunities to serve God, and to really feel the presence of God, you've got to always be at the ready. As you're going, you just never know. You don't get spiritual at 11 a.m. Sunday morning and then Monday through Saturday not be in tune with the Spirit. Where Jesus says, as the wind blows where it wants to, and so it is with everyone born of the Spirit of God. Jeff, one of the great adventures of the Christian life is to experience the joy of the Lord, the leading of the Lord, being used by the Lord when you least expect it, out just living everyday life. And that's why we need to always be living in such a way that the Spirit of God is in control of us. Would you agree?
Absolutely. You know, we walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, and we are listening to the voice of God as we live every day. Chris, I think in John 3, very, very quickly, when he speaks of the Spirit like the wind, he's speaking to Nicodemus about what it means to be born of the Spirit. He's speaking of salvation and the fact that you can't see it coming or going when a person is born again. I think in this case, he's talking about the born-again conversion experience and not necessarily being led by the Spirit as you walk. That's just my take on it.
Well said. Michael and others, I'm sorry we couldn't get to everyone. We're just about out of time. Hey, Jeff, it's great to be with you.
You too, Alex.
Folks, let me encourage you, be in church on Sunday, wherever you are. Find a good Bible-believing church. Maybe bring somebody into the sound of the gospel. But thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. May God bless you in all things. Tell somebody about AFR, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.